Welcome back to Gabbing with Gib. I'm your host, Gibson Johns. And today on the show, it's all about The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City season 6 premiere, which aired on Tuesday night. Thank God they're back. Now I'm currently watching 4 Housewives shows all of a sudden. Real Housewives of London, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Real Housewives of Orange County, and Real Housewives of Miami. And I love a full plate. I love having a full plate. It gives us so much to talk about on the podcast. Because I feel like for a little bit there, it's like, all right, let's talk about Miami and Orange County. Let's talk about Miami and Orange County. And now we can vary it up a little bit, which I'm excited about. And you know that I don't do full recaps on this show all the time, but a big premiere episode like The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, which really feels like one of the Bravo sort of TV events of the year, because Salt Lake City is the crown jewel of the network at this point. It is the one that most people talk about. I mean, the anticipation for the season coming beyond just like the Bravo bubble online felt real. Like, I had a lot of friends talking about it. I saw a lot of TikToks that were by people that aren't necessarily usually making Bravo content talking about it. So the anticipation was high for this, and it felt really good to be part of that. So obviously on Tuesday, I had my interview with Meredith, which I hope you enjoyed. And I posted a clip from it where I asked her about sort of how season 6 is different from the first 5 seasons. And she talked about, you know, how her and Lisa are really committed to one another as friends, and they're not going to let people tear them apart. And she kind of thinks that them being torn apart was actually due to people being in their ears, sort of trying to get them to not be friends anymore. And, you know, she didn't name any names when she answered that question. I found it very intriguing. I was curious who she was talking about, but she wouldn't name names in the interview. And same with when she was talking about who was in Mary's ear, sort of talking shit about her, and she didn't think it was Angie. I still don't really know who she was alluding to there, but, you know, Meredith and Heather were on very good terms through the last reunion. You know, at the beginning of the season, they're still on good terms. But clearly at some point, something changes, because Heather commented on the clip of my interview with Meredith, and she says, 100% BS. And when that comment came in, I was like, all right, here we go. Buckle up. And then Meredith, in due time, 2 hours later, responds, at Heather Gay, my thoughts don't need your approval. Obviously, that gets pickup. It gets put on the comments by Bravo page. It becomes a thing. Angie alluded to Meredith's claims that people try to tear her and Lisa apart in her interview with Access Hollywood, and so on and so forth. And it's obviously great exposure for the show and for the interview when this kind of stuff happens, but it does make me like slightly uncomfortable, because I'm like, I don't like really being the story, you know, and I'm not the story here, but it is a video of me and for my interview, like being reposted in a lot of places. Which, just if I think about it too much, I can't think about it too much. But long story short, the girls are activated. They're not wasting any time, as we saw in this premiere. And you know what? The cast knows that some of this sort of back and forth online can help feed the show, help get people to tune in, help sort of amp it up. So, you know, they like to spar online. They always have. Like, we even in the premiere talk about some Twitter back and forth, you know, or some Twitter comments. So it happens. But I just wanted to kind of update you on the response to Tuesday's episode with Meredith. But today on the show, we have Tom Hamlett, who hosts the podcast Dumpster Dive, a reality TV deep dive. It's a great show. I was on it recently. And so he's on to help me really recap and break down The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City premiere, which I found to be a really, really solid start to this season. And it really just kicked off. You know, it went 0 to 100, honestly, in that RV. So keep listening for my chat with Tom Hamlett all about The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City season 6 premiere. Check out his podcast, Dumpster Dive, wherever you get your podcasts. And please make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Gabbing with Gib wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you next week. I want to gab. All right. Today, we're gabbing with Tom Hamlett, host of the podcast Dumpster Dive, a reality TV deep dive, which I was just on recapping the summer by Bravo this year. So, Tom, I appreciate you coming on to my show to break down The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City premiere, one of the Bravo TV events of the year, I have to say. How are you?
I'm good. It's an honor to be here, honestly, on such a big day. I have to say that when you, and during my intro, though, you reminded me of the clip of I think it's Omarosa and on Wendy Williams when Wendy is like, thank you for coming on my show.
If I was giving that, that's not what I intended to. But you know what? A comparison to Wendy Williams is a comparison to Wendy Williams.
Who we laid eyes on this week.
Which was so exciting. She posed with Eva from Real Housewives of Atlanta, which was cute. I loved that.
Oh, I didn't see that. Yeah. I saw the Lil' Kim one and then her at that fashion show.
Yeah. I'm still a little hesitant to like, I don't know how well she is or not. I'm not going to make a judgment call on that, but I'm happy to see her out and about and not locked away in a random facility. So
I agree.
It's a win for all of us. All right. Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, season 6 premiere. They really didn't really waste any time. But what did you overall, before we jump into the kind of scene by scene, what did you think of the episode overall?
I think overall it was a fun premiere. I think that I like starting with the trip. I did feel the absence of Lisa, and Brittany kind of confirmed my biggest fears from last season that her kookiness would get to her head a little bit and she would try and overproduce herself. So I think that is happening, unfortunately. But these ladies bring a good time. And
oh my God,
the camp, they lean into the camp of it all. Pun not intended.
They're literally going camping. Exactly.
Yeah. But they lean into it in a way that doesn't feel forced like it does on other shows when they try and be kooky, you know? So
yeah, it works. Like even if you can argue that it might be overproduced or they're leaning into like their caricatures, but like I love those caricatures and I actually love all these women individually in different ways, and like I'll take it, you know what I mean? Like it works for them. And you said Lisa's not on this episode except for a FaceTime that we get that we'll talk about, but the reality report on Instagram, they counted up how many times each of their names were mentioned on the show. Lisa's name was mentioned by far the most. It was mentioned 43 times, an average of once every minute and 20 seconds on the episode, despite not being on it. So she was still sort of the reason for the season, despite not being there.
The reality report, like,
I love that
sometimes I'm like, what? Like, what madness do you use to calculate that? Like, when they have, like, the, like, stats on confessionals
screen
and
time.
Mentions screen time, I'm like, my God. I'm picturing, like, a room of, like, 50 Gen Z kids just, like, slapping their fingers
on computers,
counting things. But I think it's just one person.
I think so, too. And they do an excellent job. Highly recommend the reality.report on Instagram. All right. So the episode opens with this very melodramatic sequence. It has the camcorder footage that, you know, Brittany brought with camcorders to this camping outing because she's the recording girl. So she's playing into, again, the archetype. And we have Mary narrating, which is a change up because usually it's Heather narrating the show. So that's kind of an interesting thing. But she goes like, true friendship unfolds over time, shaped by hardship, grace, shared memories, made safe with trust. When that trust is gone, fear takes over. And then it's like, you know, it goes from this footage of them getting along to all the footage of like, them arguing throughout the rest of the season, which is there were some good little teases in there, I would say. But it just reminded you right off the bat that like the editing of the show, the time jumps the show does are really smart, and they just do such a good job of setting it up. They really do.
I know. There's some shows that this does not work on. But this show, it never feels annoying how far they lean into like the narrative aspect of it all. My favorite line of Mary's opening, though, she said, and that's when the witch hunt begins. I'm like, what are we talking about?
That was my question. I'm like, there's a witch hunt on this season?
Because yeah, I know. I'm like, I don't really know what... I mean,
is the witch hunt Lisa Barlow?
I think it is.
So they're all kind of trying to take down Lisa this season. That's sort of the implication.
That is the vibe I'm getting. Like that clip of Mary yelling at someone, we don't know who, and is like, if we all have the same issue with you, like maybe you're the problem or something like that. Like, I think it's probably a Lisa takedown season.
So that Mary comment, my immediate thought was actually that it's Brittany. Because they all hate Brittany and Mary hates Brittany
true.
So much. But it also easily could be Lisa. It's definitely one of those two. But
I can't foresee them all investing so much energy in fighting with Brittany, though. I think at some point they're just going to start to ignore her and hope that she just disappears.
Like, even Mary, I saw some TikTok interview, like, from, I think, Access Hollywood or something, where they, like, asked her to touchdown on each of the cast members. And even for Brittany, she was just like, she's still like, can she just be gone? Like, I'm so over her. Like, I just wish that she would overnight disappear.
Like, I know. She's just, like, what are we doing?
She's
here?
Never giving her a chance. And I will say that, like, I think the addition of Brittany, I'm very good with having her as a friend. I don't need her have a snowflake like a lot of people seem to want.
Yeah. But
something that I appreciate about her being there is that, like, they all laugh at her and they all can't really, like, deal with her. So it does give them sort of this common, not enemy because it's not that serious, but this common person to sort of like dunk on. So like even when they're going through these serious conversations, like Brittany's always going to be there as somebody who's going to interject, and they can just like, it kind of cuts the tension sometimes, which is necessary with these women, I think.
Yeah, I see the need for her, definitely. I do think they're going to really tire of her trying to have all these moments in the middle of like earnest conversations, though, you know.
I mean, her name was mentioned the second most in the whole episode. So like,
that doesn't surprise me because she wouldn't shut them.
Yeah, no, it's fun and entertaining for me right now, but I could easily see it flipping in one episode just to being like, all right, enough. Like, let's pull down her airtime. You know what I mean? Like, it's,
yeah.
Cause it's also so inconsequential with her. It's like, she's not impacting anything in a big way. And that's sort of what differentiates her.
I know. She is harmless mostly.
But I kind of want people to not be harmless on this show.
Oh, man, I agree. We have someone from the show is in jail. I mean, we're used to the...
Yeah. All right, so we find out that the episode is going to be, we're immediately leaving Salt Lake City. We're going to Provo Canyon. We're going on an RV trip organized by Angie and kind of Mary, but not really Mary. There's this bizarre invitation that's very confusing, which ends up with Brittany showing up in a bikini under her fur coat. Like, they're all kind of confused about what's going on here. They meet up outside a beauty lab in Laser. I did love that we started with a Mary Angie moment, because those were some of the really like joyful moments of last season, you know, sort of kick it off from there. I think was really fun.
Yeah.
Somebody posted about this. Proof of life for Charlinda, who is Mary's cousin that we hadn't seen since season one, who carried her bags onto the RV for her. So, like, happy that she's alive and well and still with Mary. And then the other thing that made me laugh here was that Angie opens the RV door. Mary goes, why are you dressed like you're going to an office?
She does look insane. She does not look like she's going camping. Now, I have to say, I don't know what has happened between when they wrapped season 5 and 6. Angie looks so beautiful to me. I can't get over it. Like, her confessional and that bow look.
Obsessed. Like, that's my favorite confessional look so far. Yeah.
Unreal. She is gorge.
She's killing it. And essentially, they're meeting up outside of Beauty Lab and Laser. And the biggest takeaway here is that Lisa's not coming. She seemingly has business at South by Southwest. She's working on, I think, 2 movie premieres with Ben Affleck and Blake Lively in each of them. Obviously, you know,
I don't buy it.
As the episode goes on, there are various explanations and theories given for why she's not there. One is that she's avoiding talking about the lawsuits. One is that she says that she's avoiding Bronwyn and that she has work. There are various things that are sort of put up there. And I think, you know, she had work, but this is also her job. And so I think the various reasons given point to it probably being contract related, right? Like, that's
right. What I was going to say. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's tough. Like, she's necessary for this show. She absolutely is. I think she needs, I'm not saying anyone needs to lower their worth, but I really don't like when we get into these like contract situations with these housewives as a deciding factor of like, whether or not they'll be on this like ensemble show. Like, I don't want another Bethany situation where she's like dropping out last minute from a season of the show, and then the show is scrambling to find any sort of relevance. I mean, I think this show would be fine. Like, say for some reason she never signed this season, I think we still would have had content. But I want her to, I don't know.
Well, it's like she is.
I want her to have worth, but like, I want her to know that this is also an ensemble. Like, it's not just a single person show.
I mean, absolutely. I think they're all essential ingredients right now. Like, it really is like, it is a perfect, weird, chaotic puzzle. And like, Lisa Barlow is an essential piece of that puzzle, but she's not the only piece of that puzzle. And she's not the most important piece of that puzzle necessarily. Right. So it's like, that's the that's the hard thing. And yeah, but I feel like when somebody's missing the beginning of a season, that's usually pointing to contract stuff. And I'm guessing, honestly, that the FaceTime that her and Angie did was probably filmed after the fact and put in.
You think it was a pickup?
Well, I mean, like, if she wasn't filming, she wasn't filming. You know what I mean? Right. Like, if she's holding out, if that's what the theory is. So it wouldn't really make sense for her to even agree to be on the FaceTime. But I don't know. That's just sort of I usually think that they are more pickup scenes than we realize, maybe. And the other thing that happens around this is the FBI strippers. And Whitney organizes this really, honestly, triggering moment for all of them, where it's like, you're outside Beauty Lab and Laser again in a Sprinter van again. And, or actually not a Sprinter van, it's an RV. But they have strippers dressed as FBI agents. And again, Mary made me laugh. She goes, "You don't even know me," to the strippers.
It was so good. That's a shtick that doesn't work everywhere, but it works here. Like, it's
exactly.
Just funny.
Exactly. And then also Heather set the scene for us. She's like, Meredith can't stand Brittany. Heather's not a fan of Bronwyn. Not sure where Mary stands with everybody. And then Angie, Whitney, and Bronwyn not getting along with Lisa. So again, it's sort of that combined with Lisa not there. You're like, all right, this is going to be a majority of the group being anti-Lisa and likely coming for her. Like, we're setting that up already.
I think it's troublesome that Meredith is back. I'm like, Meredith, you're back team Lisa when everyone can't stand. Like there were seasons where you were anti-Lisa forever, and then now you're team her when the rest of the world isn't. It's like, you can't catch a break with whose sides you're on. I feel like she's always on the wrong side.
But I do feel like I've always much preferred Lisa and Meredith better together. Like, I truly, like, it wasn't, I don't, even though we got like some iconic moments out of them having a falling out, like the hot mic moment, ultimately, like, it feels better watching them together because it feels like they're the most natural pairing outside of Whitney and Heather. So it's like, I want to see them together. And I'd interviewed Meredith and she was like, Lisa and I basically agreed, like, we're never having another falling out, basically, because of the show.
Yeah, it was a great interview, by the way. Look, guys, go listen to the interview if you haven't yet. It's on this podcast you're listening to right now.
And the other thing that comes out of Lisa being away for work is Whitney questioning it being for work. And her questioning it being for work leads to Brittany questioning Whitney's business, because that's in the headlines because she's being accused of running an MLM on TikTok. And then that leads to Whitney saying to Brittany, "How do you make money, sucking dick?" Like, again, like, you just can't, like, they just do it, they just go for it.
I know,
like, you can't just, make
we're
this
like
shit up.
We've been filming for like an hour and in Video Village they're already like, we got something.
I do think that, like, and this is where we get the inklings of like Brittany defending Lisa, like her life depends on it, and she's saying that she's like a sister to her. And everyone's like, wait, what? Like, where did this come from?
That was so crazy. And I'm like, it just feels like it's such an old school housewives move for the villain to like befriend the weak one. So they have someone, it feels like LVP befriending Teddy, you know, like it's like the big dog finds the weak one to make her little minion. And then she's going to, Brittany's going to become a bystander in something down the line. It's unfortunately, Brittany, that's just your lot in the season.
That's a really good read on it. And for her, she does need that. She needs the entry into the group. She needs to maintain the connection to this group that everybody doesn't like her in. Yeah. So right now it works for her as well, but I don't think she has the wherewithal to see it the way that it actually is. You know?
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
From athletic stuff like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff like a half mile stroll. Get those steps in. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
This Valentine's Day, the UPS Store Certified Packing Experts are helping pack and ship all the ways we care. From the lovey-dovey XOXO gifts, gifts for your Galentine's gal pal, even pet gifts for doggy dearest. When you ship UPS Air at the UPS Store, your items arrive on time or your money back, guaranteed at no extra cost, exclusively at the UPS Store U.S. retail locations. Send your Valentine's on time at the UPS Store. Visit theupsstore.com/airguarantee for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
I have created
the most advanced AI soldier.
The wait is over. Tron Ares, now streaming on Disney Plus.
We are looking for something. Something you've discovered. And some of us will stop at nothing to get it.
Ready?
The countdown is complete.
There's no going back.
Our directive is clear.
Hang on!
Tron Ares, now streaming on Disney Plus. Rated PG-13.
They show up to this campsite and it's just bleak. They're like, we're sleeping here. Like, honestly, Whitney's like laughing because she's like, this is so crazy. And she's the one that like, Whitney's the one that probably makes the most, like she would be the least sort of offended by like their accommodations. You know, like she's the most probably low key in that regard. So she's just like cracking up because in her mind, she's probably like, Meredith and Mary are sleeping here. Like these women are agreeing to sleep in this RV. And it's just, it's a very bleak situation. They sit down for this lunch. Heather kind of right away says that Lisa is making a statement by not being there. And she kind of reads it as like her sending the message that she's too good for them. Do you agree with that? Or do you feel like she's making a statement? And if so, like what is that statement?
I think the statement is like, see, you guys need me. Like, you need me here in this group to make this show work. But I think they're just kind of unbothered by her. Like, I think it's very show related. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's less, you know, in the Housewife book, they talked about how most of the fights are always like show related.
Ryan Moore always says that.
You just don't know. You just don't catch it as a viewer. Like, this just feels so show related that she's like,
it's like coded.
Yeah, that she's annoyed that she has to film with Bronwyn. I think she was upset that Bronwyn got a contract again. Like, I think that she struggles with this show not being her show, I think. And so not being on her terms and her friend, who used to be a very good friend, is now kind of the star of the show, Angie. Like, someone who she thought was just like someone who would always be second fiddle to her has now taken over as our center snowflake. And I think there's an ego check there that's hard for her. And she wants to kind of draw a line in the sand with these ladies. But I don't think it works. Like, but just come back on, Lisa. Like, please be here next episode. Please.
I would assume she is there next episode. But I agree. It is sort of like kind of drawing. It is making a statement. And I think having Heather be the one to say that, they are definitely breadcrumbing a fallout between Heather. Because right now, like, Heather is really close with Meredith and Lisa in the beginning of the season, because that was sort of what it was last season. But I feel like they're breadcrumbing Heather having a fissure between them. Like, she's like not going to be with them at the end.
Well, the girls are fighting in your comments.
Meredith and Heather are commenting under my videos. So like, that's happening. But it's like, in the show, they're planting the seeds though, because, you know, they're later, we'll talk about it, they have Bronwyn and Heather kind of kayaking together and coming together. So that's, I think we're planting the seeds there. This is where Whitney brings up the lawsuits, that she's sort of the assist, and Bronwyn sort of takes it home by like explaining it. There's five of them. Essentially, like, she borrowed money, and apparently, according to these lawsuits, these civil suits have not paid it back. You know, Lisa's told Meredith, Heather, and Brittany about this, even though Heather's sort of playing dumb about having not seen it. And Angie calls her out. She's like, no, this is literally everywhere.
And all the accounts we follow
on Instagram. And Bronwyn's like, it was in the Salt Lake Tribune. Like, how
But here's the thing is like, okay, guys. Yeah. Heather, if you ever get to this, Heather, love you. You are a fan of these shows. You have self-proclaimed watched these shows. You are online. Like, you know about these things. Like, you can't be slick and try and tell us that you didn't know about it. Like, you knew about it. You have been a Housewives watcher forever. You love the machine of Housewives, and we respect your work on these shows. But you got to acknowledge, you can't hide behind the fact that you didn't know about this. It's just kind of a bizarre loyalty to me.
Yeah, especially with Heather, it doesn't track, because we know how she is. And also, like, as the sort of omnipresent narrator of the show, usually the like sort of voice of the people in a lot of ways, like, that also doesn't align with that either. You know what I mean?
So yeah, no.
In this moment, she kind of wanted to have her cake and eat it too and sort of get away with that. But that wasn't going to work. And I'm glad that it was called out. And essentially, by bringing this up, their argument is Lisa talks about everybody else's shit, everybody else's finances. She talked about Bronwyn's stuff last season, but nobody's allowed to talk about her. What do you think about that argument? And is that true?
I mean, it's kind of true. I'm coming down really hard on Lisa, and she's not even on this episode. I get defensive about the show's mechanics more than any of like the specific Housewives. And like, I really just, it bothers me how much she's just not down to mingle in this premiere. But they're right. I mean, their points are right about her. And I think she could benefit from actually receiving it. It's why, you know, I Salt Lake City is our gold standard these days of reality television, Proud I feel tool. Like. But the one thing they do miss on is, I do think their reunion performances are always a little lackluster, because part of it is Lisa, when she's confronted with so many things that she needs to kind of like give a statement on or own up to or address, she's so defensive. Like, she's like, don't talk about my family, don't talk about this, don't talk about that. Like, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that. And it is not totally fair to like the other ladies who are sitting in their problems, you know. One thing that Meredith, we did get a really great Meredith quote out of this scene though. She goes, borrowing money is a part of doing business.
Which, like, no, obsessed. The delivery was so good, and it's just like so matter of fact and like withdrawn and just perfect. Like, I just I live
Meredith,
for her delivery.
Like, you do have to pay the money. Like, you can borrow money.
Yeah, Bronwyn's like, well, you have to pay it back, and Meredith's like, that's true. That is true. Yes,
that's
yes,
true. That's also true. Business.
Yeah. I also, in this moment, I was also sort of thinking about sort of an alternate universe, because these lawsuits, again, they were being posted about on all the fan page. Like, they were out there, right? They were being reported on the Salt Lake City Tribune. Like, they were going to bring this up on the season. That was part of, you know, they're probably taking screenshots and, you know, keeping their records.
Totally.
But this is happening in the very first episode. They're not wasting any time. I'm not saying they would have wasted any time otherwise. But if Lisa had gone on this RV trip, I'm so curious, like, how it would have played out with her there. Like, I think that they would have waited to bring it up.
They definitely would have.
They would have had more one-on-one scenes, sort of like maybe Whitney and Bronwyn talking about it, and then Bronwyn telling somebody else, Angie, about whatever. Like, it would have come out much more slowly, and then it would have gotten to Lisa. So I just think about sort of the rollout of this within the season, and like, because usually it's a little bit more of a build-up, but this is just like hitting us in the face with it in episode one. So it's interesting how it came out.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe it was a good move for her not to be there so we could get this out.
Right. So then we have this really unfortunate analogy. And as we know, Housewives analogies do not usually land. I think about the classic example of...
Which one? I actually came up with a couple in my head.
I was thinking about Jackie telling Teresa that it would be like Gia doing coke in the bathroom.
That wasn't even mine. My first one was when Dorinda trying to tell Brandy on Girls Trip that like her kid died, like something about her kid.
Oh my god. Yeah, yeah. What if your kid if your son died? Died? Right.
Yeah. Like, and then, but then we got the really funny Phaedra Brandy moment at the bar. And then the other thing was also Adriana making wild comparisons about Alexia's family. Like analogies don't work.
What was Adriana's analogy shows. Again?
It wasn't great. It was something about how she was comparing her sprained ankle to Frankie's car.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God.
So Adriana. Bad. So
Adriana.
Bad.
Yeah, analogies just don't land. And in this case, it's Angie saying that what Lisa is being accused of doing is very similar to what Jen. It's not that different from what Jen Shaw did.
And she knew she shouldn't have said it right away.
Immediately, she's like, that was a bad analogy. I shouldn't have done it. And so I give Angie credit for like immediately clocking that and not doubling down on it. And even on Watch What Happens Live, she was like, I apologize for it. Like, that was not the right thing to say. But it sort of opens up the Pandora's box. It's like, and we have another great Meredith quote. She goes, the state of Utah is not coming after Lisa Barlow. Neither is the United States of America. Yeah. And she points out that Lisa Barlow lawsuits are civil lawsuits, not, you know, a federal criminal lawsuit. It brings up this question. And I want to know what you think about it. Like, Heather's like, we shouldn't be talking about Jen Shaw at all. Like, why are we doing this? What do you think about like bringing up Jen, mentioning her? She is kind of an ephemeral,
omnipresent.
Like, yeah, but I don't think she's a shadow over the show anymore like she once was. But what do you think about hearing her name still on the show?
I think I think it's the more you say her name, you're feeding her ego, probably. So, like, I think it's important with a lot of evil people in this world to just, like, not acknowledge their presence at times because it deflates their ego. But it feels very weird to me for Heather to be sort of offensive of not bringing her up when all Heather did was be her biggest champion for so long. It feels very silly for her to be the one being like, we can't talk about her anymore. It's like, yeah, girl, everyone was over this. You were the one who stretched out the punch with her and like all that. It's like very silly to me. But this felt organic. Like they can't not acknowledge their ex-friend who's a con woman. It's a big thing that happened to them.
Would you want her to come back when she's out in a year?
Absolutely not. No.
Yeah, me neither. Me neither. I wanted to make sure we're on the same page about that.
I don't think Bravo would have her either. Like, I think
it's a burned bridge.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between what, like, Teresa just signed a contract that her husband made her sign, and she got thrown into legal battles that ended up putting her in prison. Karen, it's a terrible thing that she did, but it's not massive level, like, scheming and criminality. Jen is a criminal.
A mastermind.
Like she is a mastermind behind a money scheme that ripped like millions of dollars from people. Like I just think that platforming her would be insane.
Yeah, it's just, and I agree with you. And I think it would be going backwards in a way that the show doesn't need to do.
They've become
the one thing that's in the other column is like the ratings would be insane if they did this.
I know, but I don't even think Andy would want to do a sit down with her. Like, I don't think he...
No, because she burned him when she was supposed to do a sit down with him before going to prison. And she like burned him. So I agree. I don't think it's going to happen. But do you think that Angie and Bronwyn, as Heather thinks, are sort of being brought together and bonding over their dislike of Lisa and sort of maybe wanting to talk about this stuff on camera? That's sort of Heather's thing, and that's bringing them together. Because remember, they had the whole high body count hair thing last season, so they don't have the smoothest history either.
Yeah, I think a lot of the women are going to endear themselves to Bronwyn this season because I think that she had some solid points on the Lisa front, especially if this is a Lisa takedown season, unfortunately. Although, Bronwyn... Are we going to get to the Bronwyn
necklace?
Jewelry
Let's talk
reveal?
About, well, yeah, I was going to say, but I have Bronwyn's necklace explanation, ... What do you think?
I mean, I have a theory that, you know, I mean, to me, when she was sitting in that confessional saying, like, how it was just dark, her, like, revealing her insecurities about everything and how she lied about it and how she intentionally used words to make it sound like she had it when she didn't. I feel like that necklace is like a symbol for like something just sinister, and not sinister, but like deep. It's a symbol of like her life, like trying to, she can't hide behind things on the show in the same way that I think she thought she could. I don't know if it's like her trying to fit in. It's her trying. It's a part of something to do with her relationship. Like, I just think it was so symbolic of her to like pretend that this was something that she could afford. It's like, what else are you fabricating on in your life that's good or great or pretty and nice when it's actually not? You know, you can't hide on reality TV for very long. And it feels like this is the tip of an iceberg of a lot of things that she needs to maybe confront if she's going to continue a life as like a front-facing person.
Right. Like, it's if the explanation is, I wanted to be cool. Basically, that's what it boiled down to. I wanted to impress people. And that's what it took to lie about it. Right, exactly. Yeah, so that's, I actually admired like her being so frank about why she did that.
I agree. I completely agree.
But I wish it didn't take so much sort of like cajole. Like, they really had to pull it out of her.
She could have just said it at the reunion. Was like, no, I didn't get it. I just wanted,
It took like many opportunities.
Yeah, she could have just said like, I'm on The Real Housewives. Like, I wanted to appear like I am a valid cast member, casting choice for The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. And I now realize that that was silly to do. Like, that doesn't endear me to people. But it took her a little longer to get there.
I also think that, like, feeding into this whole season for her is the fact that, like, we saw her last season want to be friends with Lisa so badly. Like, that was, like, her mission for this season was, like, not realizing that Lisa didn't want to have anything to do with her after bringing her in, and still fighting so much to, like, be accepted by her. And at the end, Lisa spurned her, and she feels burned by that. And I think that's fueling a lot of this. I think if it was out there and she didn't feel that way, somebody else would have brought it up. Whitney would have brought it up. Angie would have brought it up. But
it's still really dirty and weird that Lisa was so obsessed with it that she contacted that woman. That thing was so crazy to me. Like, just to drill down on this necklace, like, it just felt so bizarre.
I do think that maybe Lisa feels the same way as you do, which is like, is this indicative of something bigger?
That's
that
true.
She's,
yeah,
like, misrepresenting. So I don't know. And if that's the case, that will come out, as you said. Like, you can't hide that. So I guess we'll see. Before we end this lunch, the last little thing is that Brittany stands up, tries to make another announcement, says that she's engaged, and then 2 seconds later says, but we're not engaged anymore, but they're still fucking. Like, it just, like, I don't need constant Jared Osment updates. I actually don't. I'm like good on that. It's not
same.
They're clearly a very tumultuous, toxic relationship, but like, I don't need to be updated every single time they break up and get back together, because it sounds like that happens every single week.
And he is a man about town.
Yeah,
he tears up that Life Cafe. Yeah, he tears it up there.
He's not on a machine at Lifetime Gym. He is. That was funny. Justice.
It was so funny.
Salad.
I mean, you know, you know that Lifetime in Park City or wherever it is the Soho House of Park City. Like, that's where they're all going.
Oh, yeah.
Lifetimes have bars now.
Steam rooms are like active. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. All the closeted Mormon.
In Mormon country, please.
Oh, my God. They're all jerking off.
So then we have sort of the requisite, like, goofy segment. They're going fly fishing and kayaking. We learn about Molly Sorensen, the person who went missing in Provo Canyon, and the sort of legend about her still being out there and it being dangerous for women to be out there. My favorite moment here is Mary continuing to call Dusty, the fly fishing instructor, Gusty. She's like, Gusty? No, Dusty. Gusty? No, it's Dusty.
Well, he kind of looks like a Gusty to me.
And she just tripled down on Gusty. And it was perfect.
Wait, Gibson, would you rather go fly fishing or kayaking if we were on a camping trip together?
That is a really fabulous question, because I wouldn't go on a camping trip. But
you do not give RV life to me in any way, shape, or form.
Nope, I don't do that.
But what if I made us martinis in? I can make us martinis in the RV.
You know what? I think I would go fly fishing because those like kind of cool overalls that like kind of go over your all your like you wear your shoes within the like rubber overalls.
Yeah,
I'm down for that. And kayaking like is kind of like makes me a little nervous. I don't know why.
Really? See, I would absolutely kayak. Kayak sounds so much more fun to me. Fly fishing, like you're fishing. Just standing still.
But then you can gab. You can like gossip and just hold the thing.
You need a martini, a Caesar, and a fry, like, and not
yeah, exactly,
not in the car.
No, I'm Meredith being like, how long does this take? I'm dead. So, but speaking of the kayaking, as I mentioned, Heather and Bronwyn are in the kayak together. They have a nice moment after a really combative season between one another last year, and they later say that nature brought them together. But Angie kind of clocks their tea, and she's like, wait a second. Would you have been this nice to Bronwyn, Heather, if Lisa had been here? What do you think the answer to that is?
Heather, oh God, I feel like I've talked so much shit on these ladies today. I really love them all. I need to.
They
say
have thick
that
skin,
though.
Like they understand yeah. this kind of commentary is part of the gig.
Heather is a bit of a follower, unfortunately. Like she just kind of she does shift and alter her thoughts about situations and her personality depending on who she's mixing and mingling with, you know? I don't know if that's a Mormon people-pleasing thing with that's instilled within her, but
I think with Heather it has to do with the Mormon stuff, but I also just think it has to do with, like, I feel like she's talked about, like, you know, when she was in high school and college, like, she wanted to be accepted by the cool girls. Like, that's kind of, like,
yeah,
that's kind of part of her, like, origin story, you know what I mean? I think that, like, honestly, a lot of us, how we were back then kind of still informs sometimes how we are now. And I think that Heather yeah. has never really fully gotten past that. And I also think that, like, she was finally fully accepted by Meredith and Lisa last season. Like, that was a unit. And I guess, like, once you achieve that acceptance, if you're Heather, what do you do after that? You know, do you stick with them? Or is this, like, do you realize this is not all it's cracked up to be? Like, you know, I'm just,
yeah.
I feel like my read on Heather right now is that, like, she's kind of realizing that, like, Whitney is, like, her true, true ally forever. Like, that is her family, you know? And I think that she, ultimately, that's her person. I think she's kind of fully accepting and realizing that sort of as we watch her this season, you know?
I agree. Guys, I know I've talked a lot of shit today. I know people come for me for this, but I, for life, am a Whitney lover. I don't know. There's something about her that I'm always endeared to her, even when she has the craziest delivery on some of the craziest things. I think in the core of it, she's similar to me to like a Kristen Doty, where it's like delivery mess, but always right. Like the thoughts are always there. Like it's like she is correct, and she is the one that's being honest. She is the one that's being open. But maybe it's not always in, like, the box with the bow that the other ladies want it to be. I love her. I really do. I've always been a Whitney head.
I really enjoy her. And I talked to Sam Bush about this episode yesterday. And I was
Wait, this is so funny because, no, she's on my episode on Friday. You were on hers and I'm on yours. We should have just all done a big episode.
I love this for us. No, but I liken Whitney to, and I don't disagree with the Kristen Doty thing, but I liken Whitney to Ashley Darby. To me, they are
okay,
very
that's
similar in a lot of ways.
Good comparison.
You know, I think it's also that's sort of how I think about her. So my question for you is, you're sitting around this campfire at this really bleak campsite. Angie has put out the spread of groceries that she's ordered. You know, we have raw hamburgers, raw hot dogs,
asparagus,
raw asparagus. What are you making for dinner, Tom?
You know, I think we had a missed opportunity with the asparagus. You could have put like a spear on each one of those prongs and put it over the fire.
That's true. That's true. I think I would have gone for the dry bagel.
Bitch, guess you would not have made it to the bagel. You would have called the producers and been on your way to the nearest hillstone.
Oh, clocked me. Yeah, I would have been. I guess I would have been the Lisa of this.
But in your defense, though, like I'm like, where's the DoorDash? Like we can get something here.
I saw a clip from the next. They're like, you know how they release like the first 5 minutes of the next episode. I saw that, and they grill steaks the next morning for breakfast. So like there's a grill somewhere and there's steak.
Weird.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe they borrow a grill from one of the other scary RVs that's out there.
Yeah.
But my favorite quote here, actually, there's two. They're bringing all the supplies over to the fire, and Bronwyn mm-hmm. is holding all the alcohol, and she's like, "I'm gonna put the alcohol down by Brittany, the booze by Brittany," and just like they just like have these little jabs to Brittany that I think are hilarious. And then Mary Cosby says, "If Molly Sorensen was real, she would have come and fixed this food. That's what Molly needed to do. She needed to come over and feed us, and she didn't show up, so I don't believe in her." I'm sorry, that is the funniest so thing I've ever heard. This woman from the 19th
century. What an
century.
Insane thought process. Oh. I don't think this woman who allegedly was murdered in the hills wants to come back and cook dinner for the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
No, I was screaming. I was screaming. So there's kind of these two big things that happen when they're around the fire. And the first one, we just talked about Whitney. I really liked Whitney in this moment. In terms of totally. How vulnerable she was incredibly open about, you know, there's all this talk about my business out there. And the reality is that I just had a failed business. Like, it didn't work. And I think they have a really good point here and a really good discussion about how, like, on Housewives and you know, in life in general, but on Housewives specifically, it's all about what you have, your success, building these brands and businesses. And it's never really, usually when one of them doesn't work, it just sort of fades away and we never talk about it again. And mm-hmm. Whitney's made a lot of noise on social media when this was happening. And I don't know if she's fully owning up to like some of the specific accusations about the business, but I really liked her being vulnerable about it failing. I thought it was like a really kind of admirable moment for her. What did you think about
it? Yeah, I loved it. I think it's refreshing, honestly, to see someone just be like, this is what happened to me. Could we all have predicted that this may have happened? Yeah, probably. But like, it's just tough, like, when going all in on like a housewife's mm-hmm. business opportunity, that feels crazy to me. If any housewives are listening to this, y'all, like, create a side gig that isn't inherently like your entire
savings.
Being,
you know? Yeah.
Like, the fact that their whole family invested everything they had into a beauty company, which that's a market that is so crowded, mm-hmm. especially with celebrities. Mm-hmm. And when there's celebrities like Lady Gaga doing beauty, I know shade to what you, Whitney. I just don't think people are going to. But then it was also jewelry. I don't know.
But it was kind of like this weird community based thing too. They tried to do that was the MLM like kind of accusations that were in there,
right?
And I don't know that in the inner, like, I feel like Whitney had all these businesses that were like changing names and changing what they actually were. So I don't actually know that much about like what was going on there. But I did see some of those TikToks from women who like went to some maybe like retreat or like gathering that like
that was
didn't
tough.
Go as planned or something. I don't really know exactly what happened there. But and in this moment, there's this whole, again, amazing moment where Brittany walks over to Whitney, hugs her from behind, and Whitney like immediately stops. And she's like, I am not ready for that, Brittany. We have not finished this. We have not hashed this out. Because Brittany is interjecting, being upset that Whitney accused her of having sex for money. And Angie says, she didn't accuse you of having sex. She accused you of sucking dick.
So, right. Not sex.
Yeah. So I love that little moment. And then the last thing here is this amazing little discussion of Meredith and Brittany's, you know, so-called friendship. And Brittany says, we were good friends. And Meredith says, I barely knew you. And she's like, how many times did I call you? Once? And Brittany says, twice. And they all burst out laughing. And this is just, again, an example of the fact that they're like viewing Brittany as being so annoying and unserious brings them mm-hmm. together at certain points, you know? And I just, this little discussion brought joy to my heart because it was just hilarious. I loved it.
It really was so funny. You know, they're all just like, I can't believe we have to do a whole season again with this lady.
We went to lunch for a couple hours. I thought that was nice. That's my sister.
She does break. Oh my god, I can't be like Lisa's my sister. None of these people are your sisters.
No,
she breaks my heart a little bit because it is so honest.
Yeah, it's really honest.
I think she really thinks these people are her friends. It's really
I think
tough.
She hasn't accepted the fact that the show friendships aren't necessarily like the most deep, true life friendship all the time. And I think the other women have fully accepted that and long ago did. And Brittany's still kind of coming to terms with that, I think, and accepting that. And we get this last quote from Meredith that, like, it's just sometimes she can be so direct and cutting, and you actually don't even realize it necessarily when you're watching it. But she says, "I find you to be absolutely uninteresting. I have zero respect for you, period." Like, that is a very cutting thing to say to somebody, regardless of what you have going on.
I have to disagree with you, Meredith. I don't find Brittany uninteresting. She's incredibly interesting to me. She's insane.
Meredith and Brittany, they were never going to mix. But Meredith is right. She was friendly to Brittany before the recording.
She tried to be nice to her, and then Brittany... I'll never get over the fisheye lens of Meredith in that fucking van going, you are filming us. It's so crazy.
I've had enough of you. Whenever they show that clip of her saying, "I've had enough of you," I always expect to hear, "You beast," but she doesn't.
Yes. Oh my God, you're right. No, it's funny though, because like if you showed that to someone who had no context for these shows, they would assume that like something unbelievably insane just happened. Like people's families were getting dragged through the mud. Like there was like some sort of crime. There was something. It's like, no, she was just working on her filming.
Now she's a recording girl. And, you know, now we have the camcorder footage.
That was a little late on thick for me.
Yeah, it was clearly the producers providing them with the camcorders. All right, so that's the premiere of Salt Lake City for season 6.
Yes.
Now that we've spent 50 minutes talking about it, I'm like, I needed that. That it kind of revived me in a lot of ways.
I agree. Wait, one thing that I had in my notes I don't know if you clocked this. I was thinking recently about how since 2020, like Salt Lake City is now a hotbed for reality television. Like I feel like the new Atlanta in many ways. Like Atlanta for a long time after like Love and Hip Hop and Houses of Atlanta, it was just like a like there's so many shows there filming at the same day. Like I feel like in Salt Lake City, like you look to your left and it's like Secret Life of Mormon Wives is there. And then you look to your right and it's like some TLC show and then like all over. But the connection to Secret Life of Mormon Wives that I clocked in this, I don't know if you clocked this, is Bronwyn was drinking out of a Swig soda.
Oh, I didn't see that.
And I was like, I've never seen Swig on this show. I've only seen that on
Swig is for Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. Oh, interesting.
I'm like, we can't have Swig on this show. That's the other show.
Was that on the RV?
It was their first scene. Right before they got on the RV, she had a Swig container with her.
Oh, man, I wonder if there's a Swig in the Beauty Lab and Laser Strip Mall.
I'm sure. Like, I'm sure that they're filming right there. Like,
I'm gonna look that up after
we wait. But we can do this live. Wait, Swig locations.
Look up Beauty Lab and Laser.
Oh, you're right. Beauty Lab and Laser.
I think there's only like two of those.
Wait, did you watch the dance? I don't watch Dancing with the Stars, but did you check in with those girls?
No, I didn't.
You are absolutely right. Oh my God, it is right. Wait, I'm texting it to you right now.
I'm dead.
This is such investigative reporting that means nothing to most people unless you listen to this podcast.
But to us, it's confirmation of the theory. That's amazing. So she was, when they were waiting for Angie and Mary, Bronwyn went to go get her Diet Cola with coconut cream and...
Yeah.
Wow. Right across the street.
Like they're right next to each other.
Obsessed. I love it.
Isn't that crazy? Wow. Uh-huh. Well, there you go.
Well, that's a really funny through line. I love it, but I did not.
Only us would know these things. You know what I mean?
Right. I do know that Whitney tied for like second highest score. So she's like going to go far. She's really good.
She's a star.
I agree with you.
To me, from the beginning of that show, I was always like, this woman has the it factor to be like a superstar.
Yeah. There's some DeLulu vibes there, but she's also
totally.
Like,
that's a part of the star factor to me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Of course. So any lingering thoughts or are we? Anything for the future of the season that you're feeling?
No, I'm excited. I do wish we had one like new person just around to like learn some new things about. You know, I think it's always important to like have new blood in these shows just because like it keeps everyone on their toes. Because we've stuck with the same group for a while now. I just want to make sure we don't get stale.
the longer you go with the same group of people, the harder it is to add people. That's what happens on Married to Medicine. Like, you either really work or you don't. And I think Bronwyn is working, which is great. She's a good addition. Brittany is a whole other of an addition. But like, you're right. It is a different feeling when you jump back into a Housewives season and it's the same exact people from the season before. It hits different than knowing that there's a whole other story in person to learn about, you know, like that's, and I don't mind it with them, but I agree they have to be like, they have to be aware and cautious of that.
Like, it doesn't need to be, I think it'd be fun to just have someone else kind of lingering around to be a punching bag.
I'm with you. But I do think that this just, we're set up well for this season and it's definitely going to be all eyes on Lisa.
Great show.
But, you know, so Tom, thanks so much for doing this. Of course. Where can you listen to Dumpster Dive? Do the plugs before we sign off here.
Yeah, you can follow Dumpster Dive on all of your podcast platforms. You can catch video episodes of the show on Spotify and also on the Dumpster Dive YouTube channel. And I am just recapping Salt Lake City this season and then doing some throwback recaps with old shows. I just did a awesome episode with Laguna Biatch, Kelly from Beyond the Blinds, about everything MTV and VH1. Reality TV of the early 2000s. Go check that out.
That's fun.
And follow me.
Love that.
At the Tom Hamlet is my Instagram.
Love it. Well, Tom, thanks again for doing this.
Thanks for having me.
I didn't realize that we had done the sort of musical chairs of podcast this week, but it makes sense.
You can listen to all of them. So you can, so now you're going to go listen to my recap with Samantha Bush. And then after that, you're going to go to Samantha Bush's Patreon and listen to Gibson talk about the premiere with Samantha.
And you'll hear us make some of the same points on everybody's shows. And that's okay. that's totally okay. Yeah, exactly. We get each other thinking. You know, that's the point of this. Tom, we'll talk soon. We'll do this again soon.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the show. Subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on any podcast platform to listen to new episodes. And subscribe to Gabbing with Gabe on YouTube to watch full-length versions of our interviews. We'd also love your support with a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. You can follow me at Gibsonoma on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, and keep up with all things Gabbing with Gib at Gabbing with Gib on Instagram and TikTok. Gabbing with Gib is an independent podcast hosted by me, Gibson Johns. It's produced by myself and Riley Dabbs. Graphics are by Rachel Roth, and our cover art photography is by Troy Hallahan. If you want to reach out about guest booking, sponsorship, or advertising opportunities, email us at gabbingwithgib@gmail.com. Thank you again for your support, and see you next time.